And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all are having a great night. We're coming at you live and on demand, or wherever you're tuning in. It's a good week to be a Bucs fan. You know, there's some positive news. I know it's going rough there for a little while. We were off last week for Thanksgiving because, you know, we have lives too. I am back, and Mr. Zach Blaine is back. How are you doing tonight, Zach?
Man, I am doing fantastic, brother. Early signing day for college football. Oregon State's making some moves.
Hell yeah.
Tampa won. Well, maybe not impressive, but we won. You know, it's been
back in the win column.
Been a good week, brother.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of negatives that we can talk about for the Bucs, and we'll certainly get to it because there were some struggles, and you know, we'll talk about all things Buck related. But before we do, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. You can leave some comments too, because you know, we want to hear from y'all. Maybe you disagree, or what, you know, maybe you have some hot takes that you want to get off your chest. Whatever the case may be, definitely chime in, because we'll include you on the show. We'll respond, and we'd love to hear from you. But in case y'all haven't picked up on it, or in case you missed what Zach and I were saying, the Bucs won. Took down the Arizona Cardinals 20-17. It was, you know, there was some good, there was some bad, there was some ugly, but ultimately it was just nice to see him back in the win column. Baker, to me, looked really impressive. I know there were a few throws here and there that maybe you wish he could have back, but that's the case every game with every quarterback ever. So, you know, not going to nitpick that at all. But Bucky was back as well. He made his return. That was really fun. He got himself a touchdown as well. Chris Godwin, I thought he dropped a touchdown. I know, like, it was ugly. But there were other plays where he looked really explosive. Like, it seemed like that Baker-Godwin connection that was so on last year at the beginning of the season. It seems like it's starting to creep back into form. So what are your thoughts on this offense? Do you think they're in good shape going down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it a little later on, but we've got reinforcements coming again.
Yeah, for sure.
I do think that we are trending in the right direction. I wasn't worried about Baker. Had we had to go through three games with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe a different story.
Yeah.
I think we still would have been okay, but not great. But I think our offense is kind of coming alive again, and it's nice to see with some of these young guys that are eventually going to replace guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It's nice to see them coming alive a little bit. Amika, look, I'll be honest with you. He was riding his high for a little while, but I've seen a lot of catchable balls that he's not caught. So he's worrying me a little bit.
Yeah, the drops have been concerning.
Yeah,
no doubt. It's definitely not. It's definitely a little bit weird part of his game. But I'm still excited for him to continue.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Definitely no. You know, awful vibes. But once Godwin comes back into being fully Godwin, and Evans returns to play as well, which he is off the injury report, or not the injury report, but off of injured reserve, their practice window has opened for him. So that's, you know, that's kind of fun. Him and Jalen McMillan as well, with his neck injury, Evans with the collarbone. So we'll see, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, because, you know, I think that the Bucs have kind of been able to just kind of string some things together on offense. Last year, they were one of the best offenses in football. And this year, you know, a bit of a regression, a bit of a step back, but there's just been so many injuries, you can't really blame them. With Mike, Jalen McMillan coming back into the fold, Godwin, obviously, does this offense seem like they're maybe dangerous in the postseason, assuming they make the playoffs? Or are you still kind of, because I know you're more of the like, oh, they're going to just get knocked out in the first round and whatever, who cares if they make the playoffs? But them returning, does that kind of change your mindset a little bit?
No, because – and I don't mean that in like a hateful way towards this offense, because I don't think the offense is the problem with this team. Our offense has not been good the last 3 weeks. Like, that's a given. But I think the bigger problem is our defense, and we don't have any reinforcements coming on the defense. Like, this is our defense. The biggest biggest missing piece was Reddick, who's not really been that – important, and he's back now. So right. I think the bigger problem is the defense, and again, with no reinforcements coming, I'm still not necessarily super high on them making a deep run, but our offense is going to be scarier.
For sure. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, that if their offense is cooking, like last year, I think the thing was like their offense was so good that they could kind of keep up with anyone. I know they ran in the Commanders, and it was just it was a tough thing. Commanders were really they were on that kind of Linsanity type of run last year. You know, they only lost to the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl. So, you know, if you want to kind of play the if you want to stretch it a little bit and play the technical game, then maybe technically the Bucs were the third best team in the NFC last year. I know that's not how it works, but you know, it's interesting. And on that defense, on the note on the defense, because like you said, Hassan Reddick came back, and I know it's the Cardinals, it's Jacoby Brissett. There's not a whole lot you can read into it because the Cardinals are not a good offense. They're not a good team. But you know, they were getting after Brissett. Like they made him very uncomfortable. I know they only ended up with two sacks, but there were a lot of plays where Brissett had to roll out of the pocket. He had to move his feet when he obviously did not want to throw it away. So Hassan Reddick, do you think, I know you kind of said that he hasn't been much of a difference maker, but he's been hurt. I don't know. I'm a little bit more optimistic. The defense seemed to have a little bit more juice to it.
I agree with that. Like we had a little more pep in our step. Sure. I do think that I would like to see us capitalize on that more.
For sure. Absolutely.
Not that we didn't play horrible. We only gave up 17 points.
Right.
Granted, we were 3-17 team. Right. But we still only gave up 17 points. It's an NFL team. Like that's still decent. But again, it's just the final product that's an issue for me. Like the process is there, but we can't finish the process is kind of where my issue lies. And that's where I'm like, he hasn't made that much of a difference. But again, when you're still down Kancey, which he's not coming back, or for the season, he's not coming back. Let me rephrase that. Right. You're kind of low on weapons. Like Logan Hall is our second best DN right now. And it's just kind of like, oh, well, I guess we'll take what we can get. And that's kind of what we get.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. Yaya Diaby's taken a bit of a step forward.
Yaya Diaby, yeah.
But, you know, he can't do it all himself. You know what I mean? Like, it's
100%.
You know, it's one of those things where he's not Myles Garrett. You know, like, he's good, but he's not that level. So, I don't know. I feel you. It's definitely concerning. But some more good news is that Benjamin Morrison, he was a full participant Wednesday. So if he's able to come back and sort of spell Jamel Dean a little bit more too, I think that'll be fun. That'll be important because that seemed to be a formula for success, especially earlier in the year when Jamel Dean was really playing at a pretty high level, you know, especially in the context of Jamel Dean's career with the Bucks. Definitely one of the better stretches that we've seen from him as a Buccaneer. So we'll see. There were some other kind of interesting notes. Tristan Wirfs did not practice. He had an oblique injury on Wednesday. Maybe that touchdown catch was too much. I don't know. It was kind of fun. I don't know. He was the first offensive lineman to catch a touchdown this year. I mean, that was all season. So that was kind of fun. In case y'all missed that, I think that was Baker's touchdown pass because the Bucs scored two touchdowns. It was the Baker touchdown pass to Tristan and the run from Bucky. It was an impressive game from the offense. And Chase McLaughlin had a couple of field goals, one of them for 56 yards. I thought the special teams really showed out this past weekend. Riley Dixon looked excellent. And that brings us to our player of the game, which is Riley Dixon. No, I'm just kidding.
But it could be, though. That's the wild part. Like,
yeah.
That's not even hating on anyone else. I think Baker, obviously, is Godwin. Like, those are going to be your two real player of the games. But special teams was the most surprising thing to me this week.
Yes.
Chase McLaughlin has not disappointed after the first, like, two or three games. I remember there was a point in the first two or three games where we were like, just re-sign this guy and he's trash.
Right.
But he's kind of gotten back in that zone. And, like, I would put him up there with some of the better kickers in the league right now. 100%. And it's nice to see that be a thing again because I'm not going to lie to you. I panicked after all of our kicking issues we've had lately. Like, the last few seasons of just we'll have them good for five games and then trash for the rest of the season. Like, it's been a kicking carousel. And it's nice to see that not be an issue anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there was the Matt Bryant curse, right? Like, they had just the revolving door. I mean, there was the Roberto Aguayo debacle. There was I think Matt Gay, they drafted him, and it was just like constant, just churn. And it was not for good reason. It was not because the quick kickers were getting too expensive. It was because they're just bad. You gotta find a better kicker. And, you know, the Ryan Succop years were pretty solid. You know, he wasn't the long range bomber that Chase McLaughlin is, but, he was definitely more consistent. Like, he was solid. Yes. Like, you ran him out there and you were like, okay, cool. Like, if it's 40 to 50 yards, you're comfortable. If it's 50 plus, then you're a little bit, maybe not. But McLaughlin definitely provides that bigger leg. And he's been showing it, and he showed it this past weekend. It was a lot of fun.
I'm not mistaken, he now holds Tampa Bay's record for the longest field goal, correct?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the record probably wasn't super high to begin with. Let's look that up. You know, why not?
I'm pretty sure he is in the Tampa Bay history books for the longest field goal in Tampa Bay history.
Yes, it was week 4 of this year. It was a 65 yarder. Right on the money. I mean, hey, shout out Chase McLaughlin, man. He's in the history books. I feel like, man, kicking has just become such a like you got Brandon Aubrey from the Cowboys, who's like taken, I don't know, like 68 or 70 yard attempts.
I mean, Cam Little broke the record this year.
Yes.
69 yards.
It's bonkers, insane, man. What modern kickers can do, man. It's
the really kicking, the kicking ball being a thing now is also a big part of that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, absolutely. They're definitely.
It's still impressive. Like, before, 5 years ago, you could have a shitty kicker and no one would even, like, it doesn't matter. You're like, it is what it is. But now it's like kickers are making a difference. Not to boast up kickers or anything, but kickers are actually important now. And it's nice to see that, like, now there's not a position on the field outside a long snapper where you're like, we don't need to spend money there, really.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of the, you know, I know he's had some issues, shall we say, but Justin Tucker had like an insane career. And then, you know, it was Matt Prater for the Broncos, which was really fun during those Tebow years. Like, he was kind of their MVP offensively almost. And now Aubrey for the Cowboys, he's kind of their secret, not even a secret weapon, but kind of the X factor, I guess you could call him.
Didn't Justin Tucker just have a workout with like the Saints or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I've tried to not pay attention to it because, he's, you know, it is what it is. But, we'll see. I mean, of all the teams to sign him, the Saints probably would be the most on brand, other than maybe the Browns. But
I'd say, let's be honest, I'm shocked he's not on the Browns yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Browns.
They just activated Deshaun Watson's 21-day period to come back.
Why? You know, who knows why? Because I'm not going to lie, Shador has not been good, but, like, it's one of those things where, like, the Browns are also not good. So how much can you pin on that? Him being bad, I mean, he's probably just not an NFL quarterback. But at the same time, like, I would rather watch
him play. I said it in the draft.
For sure. And there's a reason he fell to the fifth round. But I would still rather watch him play than watch Deshaun Watson play. You know.
He's a much better person. Like, I don't hate Shador Sanders personally. Right. I hate Deshaun Watson on, like, I've never met him, but I hate him on a personal level. Allegedly a trash human being. Sure, like, sure. Shador, I don't think he's good. Like, I like the guy. I wish he were a good quarterback. I enjoy watching. But
Other than the pantomiming answer, which I would have just like,
I mean, he's a diva, but there's other. Yeah. We've had divas in Tampa before.
Oh, for sure. And we can all be divas. You know, I can be a diva sometimes. I mean, you know, like, it happens to the best of us. That's fair. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But if you're looking for a diva style upgrade to your wardrobe, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great gear there for you. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we'll have you covered. And we'll give you a promo code to celebrate the Bucks victory this week. Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd certainly appreciate it. But moving on to the second half of our episode, we'll get to the Saints in a little bit, but the Panthers, we need to talk about that because they beat the Rams this past weekend. It was close. It was a really close game, but man, the Rams are an impressive team. Other than it's them, the Eagles, and, you know, maybe the Packers or even the Bears. Like, there are a lot of solid teams in the NFC, and I think the Rams are near the top of that list. And the Panthers, they beat them, and Bryce Young looked impressive. The defense held on. are you impressed? They kind of have that Jekyll and Hyde thing going. They're real all over the place. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Carolina? Oh, you're muted, big dog. Got it.
Oh, I don't even know how I got muted. I know That's how fine. I did it. but I messaged the group chat for everyone listening, and I said Carolina looks like a better team than Tampa.
Wow.
And I don't think that I have come off of that statement yet. They are playing at a much higher level right now. They beat up on a team that dominated us. Okay, maybe not beat up on them, but they beat them, and it was a close game the entire time. There was never a point where someone was like, oh, you know, the Rams were going to pull away. Like, it was a close game the entire time.
For sure.
I'm scared to play them. And had you asked me that last year, I would have never said that. But
right.
I also expected Bryce Young to not be their quarterback this year. That's how bad he was last season. So
yeah.
The Panthers scare me this year, brother. They are. I think they're a legit team.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely closer to being there than they were a few seasons ago. And I think Bryce Young has kind of found his footing. Like, I think him and Dave Canales seem to have a good connection. Canales has clearly done a phenomenal job with instilling hope and belief in that team. They've also done a good job of supporting him with a good offensive line. And they brought in T-Mac, and he's been outstanding. Carolina's tough, man. I still think the Bucs win the division, though. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on
I think it's going to come down to week 18.
Really? Okay.
I do. I've not lost faith in Tampa. Like, I want that to be known to anyone listening right now. I'm not saying Tampa is a trash team. Like, they're still the Bucs. Like, and there's still a chance for us to win out the rest of the season. But I think that there's a good chance it comes down to, what, week 16 and week 18 is when we play the Panthers?
Yes.
I think those are going to be the two games. It's not going to be like last season or the previous seasons where the last two games of the year don't matter. Right. I fully expect the last week 16 and week 18 to kind of define this conference this year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. I do think it comes down to the wire for sure. We'll definitely see. Those are going to be some big games for sure because the Bucks kind of, not that they needed to win like all three of these games from these past the previous 3 weeks.
Yeah, Buffalo, New England, LA.
Right, like that was going to be a tough stretch. Like we kind of knew it going in, but even if just to win like one of those games, it would have been like, oh yeah, they're still very comfortably in control.
Had we won one of them, I think we'd be having a different conversation. In my opinion, had we beat any of those three teams, and I wouldn't even be worried about Carolina. I'd be like, look, it is what it is. They're decent, but they're not us. But getting essentially our ass handed to us for all three of those games, and then seeing Carolina go out there and do what they did to LA, I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. And here's the thing, you know, the Panthers get obviously the Bucs twice, but they get the Seahawks as well. And then they get the Saints. So like, let's say they split those two games with the Saints and Seahawks. I think they'll probably lose to Seattle. Although who knows, they could still, you know, they just beat the Rams.
Yeah.
So it could be crazy, but that's the good news. The Bucs do have, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx them, but they get to play the Dolphins, and they get to play the Panthers twice and the Falcons. They get the Saints this week, which we'll get to. So the Bucs and the Panthers, you know, there's a little bit of difference there. And the Panthers are 7-6, or no, the Bucs are 7-6. The Panthers are 7-5. So, if the Bucs just, you know, take care of business against the teams that they're supposed to beat, theoretically, they could still win out. Even if they lose both games to Carolina, I think technically they could still get in. It makes it a lot tougher, but we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think
out of all of our games, the only one that scares me is Miami. Carolina, obviously. And Miami's not a good team. Like, they're not a good team.
Right.
But they've got weapons.
For sure, yeah.
They're all things that Tampa's not great at defending. We tend to get beat deep with speedy receivers, and we tend to give up a decent amount of running back yards. So I'm nervous about playing A'Shane and Waddle. It helps for them not to have Tyreek Hill. I mean, I'll fully admit that. But Miami went out there and put up 30 on Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. So it's one of those things where talk about Jekyll and Hyde. Like, they've looked like trash all season, but then 30-0 against Buffalo. Like, it was – they dominated them.
Yeah, it was not.
That's the part that scares me with them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know. We'll see. The Dolphins are, like you said, they're not as bad as I think people think, because they've kind of bounced back a little bit in recent weeks. I think they're at 5-7 at this point. I think Mike McDaniel's kind of coaching himself out of a job, or like out of being fired. So it's kind of interesting. We'll see how it plays out. But obviously, the Bucs play the Saints this week, and that's the focus for them. And we'll start with the quarterback position, because, you know, that's kind of the most confusing part of this. They had Spencer Rattler, who wasn't playing well, but he also wasn't playing bad. It's all in the context of the New Orleans Saints, who are just a bad football team this year. And Tyler Shough has been, okay. I mean, there you can, splice together highlights and make them look like Patrick Mahomes or whatever, but I don't know. He's been okay. What are your thoughts on him so far? Do you even have any? I mean, how much can you really evaluate?
That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, it might be a boring segment, but I'm just kind of he's not bad, but he's not good. But, like, it's the Saints, so maybe he is good. It's just the Saints. Like, I don't know how to feel about them. They have no weapons. Olave's hurt. Kamara's hurt. So it's like none of them are playing at 100%. So the poor kid, like, I say he's a kid, he's about my age, even though he's
right.
But it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to hate on him, but I'm also he's not done anything to impress me, but also he's not doing anything to make me watch the Saints play football.
For sure. I think
a lot of football that's not Tampa, and I have not watched him play football one time.
Yeah, man, it's kind of tough to turn on a Saints game, man. Like, I don't really know what incentive you'd have to do so, or what incentive any non-Saints fan would have to do so, frankly. But, I don't know, man. It's kind of one of those things where whatever your draft opinion of him was, you kind of have to stick with it, you know, and the Saints spent a second-round pick on him. So I think that they probably stick with him going into next year, because how much can you really tell? Because, I mean, good Lord, he's playing behind such just a patchwork offensive line, and the defense is, and he's, you know, like you said, Olave's hurt all the time. Kamara's been hurt. Juwan Johnson is like one of their better receivers, and so it's just, I don't know. It's kind of tough. And so I don't know. And the Saints' tendencies have been rough. Like, their record is what their record is. Like, they are very much a reflection of how they've played. Like, there haven't been lucky bounces. They defend the run really well, which is something, I guess, but, you know, they're one of the best rush teams in terms of estimated points added per rush allowed. But they can't, on the reverse side, they can't run the ball at all. Like, Kamara has been a shell of his former self, but also the offensive line is atrocious. And now they've got Devin Neal back there. He's a rookie out of Kansas. So they're near the bottom in rushing, and they're also near the bottom in PFF run blocking. So that kind of tells you what's going on. And they get shredded on defense, especially through the air, because they don't have really a pass rush. They're really awful in tackling, and their best corner is Kool-Aid McKinstry. Like, I don't mind Kool-Aid. He's kind of a nice player, but if that's like your best talent on the defensive side of the ball, other than DeMario Davis, he's still been a consummate pro.
He's still good, and I hate saying anything good about the Saints, but he's still a stud. I'll give it to him.
For sure. So those are kind of some of the tendencies there. But we kind of mentioned a couple. Are there any other key players that maybe you're looking at for the Saints? I know Chris Olave got a DNP Wednesday, so we'll have to monitor.
Olave, Fuaga, and Kamara all got DNA or DNPs.
Yes.
I would love for them to not play, and Justin Reed. I would love for them all to not play. I fully expect to see Olave out there. But I mean, I think if Olave plays, he's kind of one of the guys to watch, because, again, I hate to say good stuff about the Saints, but he's a solid wide receiver.
Yeah. He's going to hit one game.
Tampa, I wouldn't be upset, kind of a deal. So it's like, I just, there's no one that really worries me in New Orleans. And I, that sounds so arrogant as a Tampa fan, but I'm just not sold on anybody in New Orleans outside of, like you said, DeMario Davis and Kool-Aid. And Kool-Aid can only cover one half of the field. He can't cover the other side. So
yeah. Yeah. And even Kool-Aid, like, he's, you know,
he's not great, but he's just, he's their best corner. I mean, yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, he's tied for the most touchdowns allowed, which that doesn't really mean anything, because you can allow like a 1 yard touchdown on a slant and that counts towards that total. Like, that's not really anything, but he does have the 18th highest NFL passer rating allowed when he's the nearest defender in coverage. So that's kind of tough. And he's 15th in pass breakups, which, like, is good, but it's also bad because it means that they're targeting you enough for you to get those. So, like, yeah, it's kind of one of those tough, like, balances. So I don't know. We'll see what the Saints are able to put together in terms of game plan. You know, they've obviously they've got a multitude of issues across the board, and they're kind of void of talent, unfortunately, on both sides of the ball. But, you know, they're still an NFL team. Those guys get paid too, type thing. And the Bucs kind of put it to them on the road. So the Saints are not, you know, they're not going to be too pleased. Obviously, they're, you know, they're beat up and they're down, but they're still an NFL team, and the Bucs beat them down pretty bad last time they played, 20-3 in the Superdome. And it's tough to beat a team two times in a season, yeah, especially these division matchups, even for bad teams like the Saints, you know, so you can't sleep on it. But we'll see how it works out for sure. But before we end our episode, we got a couple more segments, and I wanted to get into some over-unders. It's my turn this week, and I figure, you know, they're playing the Saints, so it's kind of an interesting, like, you know, how much do they really run the ball because of that good run defense? So I'm going to go with Bucks total rushing yards over under 80. What do you got?
God, that's a good number. That's a good number. I'm going to go over. Okay. Are we including, we're including, I guess it's total yards, so it would include, yes, Baker scrambles.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go over.
Okay. Yeah. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I don't know. It's tough because Bucky's back, and that's exciting. And he definitely brings that element of electricity that they've been missing. And I love the three running back. Like, I've obviously been a huge fan of them running Bucky and Rashad out there at the same time. I think that's a fantastic play, and it's super fun to watch because then, you know, Rashad can be a pass protection guy, but he can also be a decoy on little rollout screen plays.
I'd rather watch Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think Sean Tucker and Bucky have been out there, but when
they haven't, but I would love to watch that.
Yes, that is, I would too. Yeah, I think that's a really fun thing too. Because then you could, you know, use Bucky in sort of the Rashad role and have him, you know, motion out to the RPO or whatever. So it's kind of fun. And I love it. I love it. So that's going to be kind of fun. But with all that being said, I think I got to go under on the rushing yards. I think they light it up with the passing game. Even if Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan, even if both of them are out, I still think that they hold a huge advantage in that regard. Gadecki and Wirfs, hopefully, you know, Wirfs is healthy. And if they're out there, Baker's going to have a lot of time back there. And, you know, Igbuka and Godwin should be more than enough. So I think that they're able to kind of light things up in the air. It's not going to be because the offense plays poorly or anything. I just think that their game plan is going to be much more throwing centric, which rightfully so. The Saints have been horrible in that
area. I love to see it. Honestly, I love to see Baker back there throwing the ball. Like,
yeah, of course.
I could, with this defense, I could foresee another Tez Johnson, like, solid game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're going to probably double team Godwin. This is with Mike Evans not playing. You're probably going to double team Godwin and then focus still pretty heavy on Ibuka. So now you've got Tez Johnson or Sterling Shepard, which I hope it's Tez Johnson. I'm overwatching Sterling Shepard at this point. Yeah. But I think we could see another big game from him. He's got tied with Ibuka for the most rookie wide receiver touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey,
or at least before Tet played last week. I don't know what he's at now, but
yeah,
it's
kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
A combo for a first and seventh round pick, brothers. Yeah, like, man. I'm mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, like, I know we've gotten into the discussions about, you know, trading draft picks and stuff like that, but hey, man, Tez Johnson, that's kind of one of the reasons you hang on to the picks, because
what's last year's seventh round pick doing?
For sure. No, I feel you. I feel you. Yeah, it's definitely a tough balance to strike. But yeah, I don't know. It's been really exciting to watch him go to work. And yeah, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him have a big game, especially because even if Evans and McMillan do play, they're going to be on a snap count, rightfully so.
Understood. Dude, I still want McMillan to sit out the rest of the season. I'm not not anything on him. Like, he's a great player when he's playing, but dude, that's such a serious injury, bro. Just take the season.
Yeah, that's and honestly, kind of similar to a collarbone. Like, collarbone's not anything to, you know, sneeze at either. Like, I mean,
the collarbone's not going to ruin your whole life.
Like, sure. No, 100%.
Paralyze you. Your collarbone, you might be weak in your shoulder. Like,
yeah, no, different levels for sure. But,
agreed. Like, it's still a fragile piece, and I know that they've both been cleared medically, but
yeah, I don't know. It's just
I see it more with Evans because, like, let's be honest, you're at the end of your career.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no disrespect to the GOAT, but like, I see him coming out and wanting to play more because maybe this is the last season, or maybe this is one of the last two seasons we're going to see of him. So it's like, he wants to get in all the time and memories he can. Well, with McMillan, it's like, brother, it's your second year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got plenty of time ahead of you to play. Like, sit this one out, dude.
For sure. But, you know, he is a competitor and, you know, they're in the thick of a playoff hunt. So I do get, like, you know, from a
player perspective, I understand it. Like, you never, I don't care if you broke your leg. Like, you're like, come on, how long is it going to take? Can I get in early? Like, as a competitor, but as a fan from the outside now, as a 30-year-old whose back hurts every day,
right?
Like, dude, take a break, man.
Yeah, it's okay, man. Yeah, for sure. It's still football will hopefully still be there next year.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so, it's a tough balance. But, yeah, I do think that the Bucs throw the ball a lot, even if McMillan and Evans are there or not there. They're going to be lighting the Saints defense up through the air. So, yeah, I'm going to go the under on the 80 rushing yards. But, yeah, so let's switch sides on this next one. We'll do Bucs defense allowing over under 2.5 touchdowns. What you got?
Over.
Ooh, you think the Saints score 3 touchdowns? Wow.
Okay. I think that anyone could score 3 touchdowns on Tampa at this point. That one I'm kind of right in the middle on. I'm just going to go over to be the pessimist that I'm known to be on this show.
Of course, right.
I'm kind of stuck right in the middle. I could see us having a really good game and holding them to 0 points or 0 touchdowns, but I could also see us going 34-30, like kind
right,
of.
Right, yeah.
I don't really think we let them score 30, but I wouldn't be shocked at this point. Like, if they did, I'd be like, yep, saw that coming. Kind of, you know, like, sure. So I'm going to go over just because if I'm wrong, good. And if I'm right, I can say I told you so.
That's your favorite thing, man. That's your favorite thing.
There's no rhyme or reason to why I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm going to go under too, but I do think they give up 2 touchdowns, but I think that's all they give up. You know, the Saints got limited to 3 points the last time these two teams played. You know, like you said, anything could happen. They could absolutely get lit up because, like you said, it's the NFL and it's this Bucs defense. They're kind of like similar to the Panthers. Like we talked about it in the group chat, like they're very much Jekyll and Hyde too. They'll go out and look dominant. Like they'll give up 3 points to the Saints, but then they'll give up 40 plus to the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo Bills, obviously very different team than the Saints, but are they a 40-point different team? I don't know. But, regardless, yeah, I do think they give up 2 touchdowns, but I think I'm going to go the under on the 2.5 touchdowns. But that brings us to the last thing, which is predictions. I think the Bucs take this home. I think they're going to have a great game offensively. I think they put up 28 points and they give up 17. It'll be a comfortable win, not nearly as comfortable as last time. It's hard to beat teams twice in a season at all, let alone blow them out 2 straight games. I know the Saints are bad, but you know, it's a division game and they're an NFL team. So I got the Bucs winning this 28-17. Who you got winning by how much, Zach?
I'm going to go Tampa because I've just been the ultimate pessimist this episode. So I'm going to go Tampa and I'm going to go Tampa 28-24.
Wow. 28-24. Okay. I like it. We've both got the Bucs scoring 4 touchdowns. We'll see if they mix in a field goal or two there, but Yeah, that's, you know, wouldn't be surprising either. We'll see. We'll see how this plays out. They're at home this time, so they've got a 3-game home, you know, 3 straight games at home. So we'll see how that goes. But we'll be back regardless of the result next week. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Definitely remember to hit those comments if you want to chime in. Maybe you disagree with Zach and you're super optimistic. Maybe you disagree with me and think Zach isn't being pessimistic enough about this team. I don't know. But regardless,
I like that one more. I like that one.
Right. We'd love to hear y'all's thoughts. Hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. But thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Zach Blaine, for making my job incredibly easy. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.